Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
William Hag, he's way behind. He was about to make a deal. Round the mountain, run, boy, run.
I have no idea.
In the house of the rising sun.
What the heck happened on
chickens
that?
In the bread pan, picking at go. Dave's on the microphone.
Another week, another show. This time it's Jets week, and we have both Drew and Ted here today. How you doing, Drew?
Meow, meow. We have to go full guns this week because we've never won in New York. So trying to get something started we've never done before. So it's good to have Ted back. Good to see you, Ted.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with me being gone. It was been a wild couple weeks.
Well, I do believe we can win in New York. It's just like all those other things that Zimmer has accomplished over his tenure, you know, not being able to win on grass, not being able to win outside, not being able to win in Chicago. He's defeated all those demons.
Can't win in prime time. Remember, don't forget that one.
Oh, you know, there was that one too. You betcha. And but now this one will be, you can't win in New York, or in this case, New Jersey.
We've only played there 10 times in our 56-year history. 57, what is it?
We've only played the Jets 10 times.
Right. We've only played the Jets 10 times total. And I don't know how many are it. And we've only won twice.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's kind of hard to believe. We've only won two times in the history of this team.
Well,
and never in New York.
I think it's weird that a team like the Jets, we've only played a team like the Jets 10 times. I was looking it up, and other than the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, because of the expansion back in whatever it was, right, expanded, in the 90s, we have played the Jets the least amount of any team in the NFL, like of any quote-unquote established franchise, which I think is just so weird.
Well, it is very weird. Considering the Seahawks didn't start till 76, so it seemed in their AFC,
right?
In their AFC, so it seems like we would have played them less.
Yeah,
no, Seahawks are NFC.
They started out in the AFC, though.
Yeah, well, you're right. No, but it's,
come on, Ernie. AFC back in the 70s,
it has
with
to
the
deal
Raiders
with, you know, first and second place playing first and second place. The Jets have been lousy most of the time during that time period, and when they were good was back in the 80s when we were bad.
That's one thing I looked up when one of the reasons we have stunk against the Jets is when we played them, generally, we were not a very good team. We played them in 2010. We were a 6-10 team. We played them in like 2006, Chili's first year, we were a 6-10 team. There was another, it was another 6-10 record in there somewhere. So, yeah, whatever.
I remember back in 82 and they whipped our ass with Richard Todd.
I remember the 75 game at Met Stadium because my dad, I remember the Vikings were losing in the fourth quarter and the Jets were a bad team. And I was like, so mad. And my dad said, calm down, little man. He's like, calm down. It's early in the fourth quarter and there's a lot of football left. And no sooner did he say that than the Vikings blocked a punt out of the end zone, took a 1-point lead, and then went and got the ball back and went and scored a touchdown and won like 29-21. I distinctly remember watching that game with my dad.
That is good memory right there.
Yeah.
Namath was gone by then, wasn't he?
No, he was playing for the Jets. Yeah, he was still playing for the Jets.
He went to the Rams in like 77, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's a good memory. That's good knowledge, Ted. Thanks for sharing that. I don't remember shit from 1975, except smoking cigarettes in the garage and looking at Playboy magazines.
When was the last time we beat the Jets?
2014. That was the Jarius Wright 90 yard screen pass or whatever it was in overtime. when the Vikings were playing at when they were playing outside at TCF Bank, Zimmer's first year, 2014.
Third down and five. Vikings at their own 13. Teddy, shotgun, big blitz, fires right to Jarius Wright on the screen. Gets loose at the 15. He's to the 25-30. And Jarius Wright is loose from 87 yards out. 30-20, game-winning touchdown!
Wait.
Jeez, Ted's full of knowledge. He got it down today, man. We've been lacking this on this show.
No, yeah, been lacking nothing. Except my handsome mug, other than that.
Oh, jeez. Yep, that was the last time we won. That was one of the two victories we've had franchise history against these guys.
So, Ted, since you've been gone.
Good song. What?
Yeah. What do you think of last Sunday's game?
I thought it was an impressive win. I thought the score was closer than the game played out. I mean, 27-17, 10 points, but the Vikings really took a commanding lead, and then they kind of do what Zimmer teams do, which is eat the clock and let the opponent's offense get some yards, but they sacrifice time of possession to do it. So I thought on the heels of the Eagles game, I thought there was a chance, well, you know, it's the Cardinals and it could be a letdown game and this, that, and the other thing. But the Vikings, other than when Cousins and Buda Baker returned that fumble for a touchdown and tied the game up, I thought the Vikings pretty much controlled the game for the most part, and it was a pretty good team win. I really like to see the defense. They seem to be back after a pretty good performance in Philadelphia. I thought they had a very strong outing against the Cardinals, only gave up 10 points, didn't give up a third down conversion. Just a really strong – only had – I don't think the Cardinals had 65 yards rushing total. So, overall, a very good win. I'm pretty happy about it.
Well, I heard a term today that I thought was apt. They're playing more loose these last two games, and I agree. They're not as doesn't seem to be thinking as much, and they're back to their normal selves or more closer to it. Flying the ball.
Yeah, I think so. Was it Zimmer mentioned a few weeks ago, maybe after the Rams game? I kind of last couple weeks have been a blur for me, but didn't he say? Think I've been overcoaching him a bit.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah. So maybe he's not overcoaching him now. I don't know.
Yeah. To add to something you just mentioned, I think the third down conversion, 0-for-10, might be the stat of the day of the game. Did you know? Guess which team is number one defensively on third down?
I believe the Minnesota Vikings are.
That is correct. 25% of the time, the only team's converting. There's been 64 third downs, and teams have only converted 16 of them.
That's an incredible statistic.
So far this season?
Yes. 64 third downs, and they've converted 16. So our defense is number one on third down conversions.
Last year it was like 32% or 35% or something like that last year, wasn't it? So it's even better this year?
Yes. Currently, right now, it's at 25%.
Wow.
Which is pretty good considering we're 18th overall in overall defense, and I can't believe that number's that. I can't believe we're at 18th, but we are.
Well, they were in the 30s, so, you know, coming up, getting better.
We're still 18th in scoring defense, still giving up 25 points a game, so that's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, big stretch from last year. But third down conversion-wise, there's no better team in the league than us, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to pump us up. We don't care about anybody else. We want to.
Well, you got to remember, last year, the first four games were pretty crappy too. It took a while. Which, Eraldo Mastini.
What?
Who? What?
Eraldo Mastini?
Geraldo Rivera?
No, Eraldo Mastini from the group. posted a great article yesterday about how the increased ACLs injuries, and there's been a boatload so far this season, not just Mike Hughes, unfortunately. Maybe they're looking at the stats, and they're looking at past, they're looking at the NBA, and they're looking at the NFL. They noticed in the NBA and in the NFL after the short seasons, the strike seasons, that players came back and they had higher Achilles injuries rates, but also higher knee rates. And they're thinking that it's possibly linked, this is the writer that wrote it, thinks it's possibly linked to the players' negotiation of the players' agreement.
The CBA,
that there are so few padded practices that there is a difference between muscular health, cardio health, and football shape. And that though the players are in great muscular and cardio shape, they're not quite in football shape like they were before this current CBA, when they had the longer padded practices in training camp, et cetera. And that may be increasing the rate of injury. It was his theory. And I thought it was an interesting theory.
I don't know. I remember the first time I got to cover training camp was in 2006 for an old website that no longer exists. Dave, you remember it, but yes. It was Chili.
We are old. That's why.
Yeah. It was Chili's first year. And I remember them doing padded practice, 2 hour padded practices in the morning and in the afternoon. I think you have to balance that out with all the CTE issues that are starting to pop up and the long-term health of the players after they retire. I don't know that the ACL injuries are that dramatically higher.
They're compared up like to what 64%. They were.
Okay, that I think you could also attribute that to guys being twice as big, twice as strong, and twice as fast as they were 10 or 15 years ago, too. I mean, human body is just not meant to withstand 300-pound or 350-pound dudes hitting them 9 or 10 or 15 times a game.
Well, whatever it is, it seems to be happening to our fucking rookies all the time. I'm fucking sick of it.
On the 27-yard line, no less.
Right?
Same spot. Is that weird or what?
I'd go out there and look. Is there a seam there? Is there, something wrong with this? I'd get out there with a level.
Dave Stefano fucking forensic files.
Yeah. I had that ground crew guy out there with a
CSI
fucking
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart with his ghost hunters. Charlie Daniels, forensic files.
Anyways, no, but we thought it was a good game too. And obviously in our Raw episode, if you haven't watched it, you need to. We were pretty loose and letting it go.
You guys were a couple of drunk alcoholics as much. Oh, wait, Drew doesn't drink. Dave was a drunk alcoholic is what he was.
No, I was talking in cursive. Yes, I was.
Dave watches the baby. Hey, Dave, when you make Salem a bottle at the end of the night, do you make yourself one too?
Sometimes.
I was always wondering that. A little bit of Kahlua, a little formula, a little Kahlua.
My formula is Captain Morgan and more Captain Morgan.
Yeah, baby. Big game this week. Got to win this week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I think so.
Now,
they all seem like wins right now. I'm kind of worried about them, but.
Well, we need to. And we need to keep pace with the Bears and that shit team across the border.
Well, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to get that Bills game back. If you blow a game you're supposed to win, that means somewhere down the road, you got to win a game you're supposed to lose.
I would argue that would be the Eagles game.
Well, I think it's going to be the Patriot game. We're gonna beat the Patriots. I've already made a wager on that
you
game.
You think so? Have you really? Wow, that's kind of a
yes. Bold, I have.
That's bold.
I went $100 like before the season started. That's going to be our game of the year. We're going to win that game in New England. We're going to win
in Foxborough.
Yes, and that'll be the game that'll make up the Bills game. You know my recipe for you win it all, or at least get to the postseason. You win your home games and half your road game. That's usually how I look at it every year.
Yep.
And I don't know where we're on pace. We won a couple home games. We've won one on the road, so we need to steal a couple through this stretch. But
well, they've got
this is a win.
The Jets, the Saints, the Lions, and then the bye. That's easily 2-1, if not 3-0. At the Bears, yeah, I don't know, man. Packers at home, they'll win. Then at New England and at Seattle. That I think those two games are going to be kind of deciding what as we head towards November and December, what kind of team the Vikings have.
The crunch month.
Yeah,
well, it is. December. Whereas the team across the border plays Seattle at Seattle this weekend and then out to New England the following weekend.
They got the Rams in there too soon.
Yeah.
You know what? They're borderline trash. They're the luckiest team I've seen all year. They should be 1-5. Cheese kicks. I mean, watch that team play. They pulled those two victories out of their ass. That was so lucky. Both the Bears and the one. Come on, dude. You can't.
Yeah, they did.
You can't rely. It's sheer luck.
But
I'm not worried about them.
That week one win actually benefited the Vikings.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
So
that's true.
I mean, early on, the Bears have been, I think, head and shoulders the best team in the division so far. Amazing.
I think so too.
Yes.
I think so too. I hate to admit it, but they look like the most balanced team.
Yeah. Which I'm sorry. I'm still not a believer in Mitch Trubisky. So get with me at the end of the season.
As much as I have shaky ground with the Vikings right now, and I'm on a little bit of shaky ground, I still feel we're going to hit our stride.
I do too. Yeah, I very much feel that as well. And it kind of feels like they're building that. I mean, they really sort of, I don't want to say bottomed out against Buffalo, but if you're going to have a really crappy game against a team you're supposed to beat, better to have it early than late, kind of like college football.
Yeah.
They sort of got their sea legs back against the Rams, even though they lost that game. I mean, they looked better, although the defense still looked terrible. And then they sort of found a way to win against Philadelphia, and they beat a team, I think, kind of handily that they should have beaten. Now let's see how they can go after they get a couple of wins under their belt. And I think you're right, Drew. Maybe they'll start ripping off wins like they did last year after they started off, 2-2 or whatever it was.
Well, you know what? You know why this Sunday is so important to me is because we've been on a little bit of this roller coaster. We start out, we beat the Niners. We all figured we would. Then we had the tie. Then we dipped way down with the Rams game. We came back up with we're trending up with the Philly game and the Cardinal game. This one is where the roller coaster is either going to take another dip or we're going to really believe that we are on that roll.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
If we blow Sunday, it's back on the roller coaster. Then we're chasing the score, so to speak, chasing the standings.
Yeah,
chase
absolutely.
The fucking standings all year. Chase the standings. You're like Michigan. Chase the fucking standings. I'm sick of it. That's why when we go into Ohio State this year, it's going to be a stun game and a statement game. But that's another.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of that game, the statement is going to be Jim Harbaugh says, "I'm going back to the NFL."
It's going to be George Kittle. That's a different show for a different time. I'm priming it. But this Jets game, keep the roller coaster on the uphill swing. This is a game that, you know, I have it circled before the game, before the season is one of the games we're supposed to win. So let's just go in there and take care of business.
Yep.
And I have numbers. And whenever you guys want to get into it, let me know.
Oh, I was about to say, if you don't get into it, I'll get into it.
Well, we can go offense against their defense. That's kind of like pretty basic right across the board. We're now the 7th best passing defense, and they're the 23rd passing defense. We're the 7th best passing offense. So that's probably going to be the way to attack them. They still give up 23 points a game. Their rushing defense only 17th in the league. We improved a little bit from 30th to 26th. But this is really going to be a test for our defense against the run. The Jets are the sixth best rushing team in football. They could run the ball. They run it for 130 yards a week. So they aren't slouches. They are the sixth best rushing team in football. Yes, they are. And I was shocked when I was crunching the numbers. I didn't realize that. But they are at 130 yards a week.
Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell, I can't even pronounce their names. They're that good? Seriously?
What the hell is a Bilal Powell anyway?
Good
for Christ's sake!
Isaiah Crowell sucked when he was with Cleveland.
Isaiah Crowell? Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, they're
Crowell, Crowley.
I don't know if they're running wide receiver sweeps and to stack up their yardage totals, but they are six. There's only five teams that run the ball better, according to my paperwork here. And you know, but we're 10th in rushing defense. So it's kind of balanced out right there. We still give up less than 100 yards a game rushing. So
here's what I think's gonna happen.
But let me throw this in before you say this.
Go ahead.
This is the third rookie quarterback we're going to be facing, and he's probably, to me, the best out of all three. I had him as my number one quarterback on the Drew Big Board coming into the draft this year. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I think Darnold's the most talented of all three, so this will probably be the biggest test rookie-wise. Go ahead.
I kind of thought Josh Rosen was, but that's semantics. Everybody has – solid opinions on quarterbacks. Sure. Here's the thing. The Jets have relied, obviously, on running the ball with a rookie quarterback, and that's probably a good strategy. So if the Vikings can shut that down, which they've been pretty good at doing, I mean, they throttled David Johnson. They throttled Jay Ajayi. And if they can do that, they're going to put the game – into Sam Darnold's hands. And I think that really plays into Mike Zimmer. You saw a lot of exotic blitzes last week, a lot of disguised stuff coming off the edge with Harrison Smith coming up and blitz and then drop back and Mackenzie Alexander doing the same thing. I don't know that is an advantage for the Jets, even though they're at home.
That's a great point. I mean, I would have to agree with that. That's how the attack mode is going to come. Everything works off the run. We got to shut the run down, but I think that's where they get their success. I mean, they're a plus three in turnovers, so they've been getting a little bit of help. We're only a minus one. We haven't been getting turnover help.
No.
So, naturally, turnovers are going to play a big part in it, but that helps. I mean, look at last week, how much those things motivated and helped us when we got that Harris pick was huge. I mean,
yep, it was.
And Darnold can be baited into throwing some. He's kind of a gunslinger. As you see in opening night, his very first pass in the NFL was a pick six. Very first one he ever threw. First pass he ever threw. But he's also got that attitude. He doesn't let shit get him down because he bounced back in that game and threw a bunch of touchdowns. And they
throttled Detroit that game too.
Yes. I mean, the Jets aren't the Jets. I mean, they have a pretty stout defense. I mean, what's their defensive ranking? I mean, 23rd overall, but they don't seem like they play like that. So we should be able to move the ball. 23rd overall isn't. They give up 381 yards a game. So we're going to be around 400. We're around 400 right now, Ted.
Yeah.
We're at 391. 391 a game. We're eighth overall in the NFL in offense. Eighth.
The one starter I can name on the Jets defense? Sheldon Richardson, and he's now with the Vikings. That is how anonymous the Jets defense is to me. Seriously, I mean, I don't know anybody in the Jets defense. Of course, I don't pay attention to the Jets, so that's on me.
Yeah, the linebacker Avery, what's his Williamson?
I don't know.
Whatever he's got. He's 19th in tackles.
Oh no,
he's
got they got a dude from Ohio State. One of their linebackers is an Ohio State guy.
Oh, Lee. For fuck's sake!
Yeah, come Darren on. Lee. That's right, Darren Lee. Darren Lee is on the New York Jets. There you go.
Overrated. He's a loser. Overrated fucker. Last game, I saw him miss 9 tackles. He must have learned that at fucking Horseshoe.
And still beat Michigan.
Woo! No, well, you know what? I kind of wanted Darren Lee coming out of college. I wanted him Vikings to take him because he would have fit the scheme perfectly. But
me too. Yeah.
Well, I can't name anybody over there anyway. And they got is Revis still on that team? I don't even know anymore.
No, he retired to Revis Island with his bad foot and a pile of money.
Well, you know they. I don't think they have David Harris anymore either, who was their star linebacker for many years. Oh, where did he go to school? That's right. He went to
Michigan. Nebraska?
No. Come on, man.
Linebacker you? Notre Dame?
The shit goes. No. Come on.
Their two linebackers are pretty good. You have Lee with a 74 grade and Williamson.
What's the other guy's name? Avery
Williamson with a 73.8.
He's got 44 tackles, and I think our highest guy is Kendricks with 39. So they're right pretty even with the – you know, I study for this show. I don't just sit around and drink fucking beer. I do my homework, man.
I do is sit around and drink beer and make stupid jokes, and I'm sorry. That's what I do.
That's why you're Eddie Van Halen. You're Eddie Van Halen. So that's
all you got. I'm more like Michael Anthony. Didn't he die of, like, cirrhosis of the liver or something?
Which no, but his career did. Last time I seen him, he was playing at some fucking fair in Des Moines, Iowa.
Are you serious? Shit. Oh wow.
Got hanging out like Dave Casper on vodka. He was terrible. I saw him in a football camp and he's standing there in a Hawaiian shirt all unbuttoned at the bottom with his fucking gut hanging out and he smelled like whiskey. And I'm going, Dave. You gonna show the kids how to run some routes? Yeah. You guys remember me? Oh, he was loaded.
Oh wow, that's funny.
No, I'm looking forward to this weekend. This is gonna be a good test for our boys.
Now they do have some key injuries.
Who?
Pryor, wide receiver, Creston.
Oh, that's right. Terrell Pryor is with the Jets. He went undefeated against Michigan.
Come on, Stefano, you're feeding into the bullshit. Stefano, stop.
That's right.
Anderson is questionable.
I know two guys on the Jets.
Yeah, Anderson's questionable with a hammy.
I know. He sold me some memorabilia and gave him a tattoo.
Inwuna is out with an ankle. Inwuna.
That sounds like a fucking guy from Star Wars.
Could be.
What the hell's an Inwuna? Inwuna? That's his name?
Enunwa.
Sounds like you just got shot.
But there's three wide receivers, one out, two questionable. You have both their corners, Johnson and Skrine, are questionable.
Skrine.
And then center Long. With a knee questionable and safety May is out.
Here's the thing. I think the Vikings offense got into a rhythm last week. They finally found their run game. And you can argue, they should have been able to run against Arizona, and they should have, but they did. And they ran even better than you probably would expect. I was thinking maybe 115, 120 yards. They got – I think they got over 200 yards when you add in Murray and Mike Boone's run and Cousins' little dead arm dance, 8-yard TD run and all that.
If you want to take scrambles into consideration, it was 199 yards.
Okay, there we go.
Come on, Ted, get it right.
And 200. You add that in with Cousins being able to pass to Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. I really think the Vikings offense has an opportunity to make a huge statement on Sunday, as in like 34, 35 points, and really put the Jets in a bind early.
I would love that. I mean, Cousins and that receiving core getting comfortable, man, that is scary good.
It really is.
That could be a special group that sets records. They play their shit right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do we got Cook coming back? What is going on with Dalvin Cook?
He's a full participant in practice today. I think he comes back this week.
Come on, Ted. Tell me he's not Michael Bennett. Please tell me. Tell me.
No.
When I watched him at Florida State, that son of a bitch would run 50 times a game and then start drinking beer when he was done.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine, man. He'll be fine. Got a lot of football left to play.
Good. I don't want this nagging injury to start bringing him down, because he's way too valuable. He's way too talented. He has way too much potential.
Yeah, I agree. At least the Vikings have a guy like Latavius Murray that can pick up the slack if Cook can't go.
Latavius Murray could start anywhere.
I think he could start on a lot of teams. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a good point. That's a good point. So it's like we have two starting running backs.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why Boone doesn't get more touches. Every time he touches it, he does well.
Put him between the tackles, man. That guy is a beast between the tackles.
He runs angry, don't he?
He does. I love it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have Cook back for this week, because we're going to need some rushing. We're going to need some chunk yardage, and that's what his specialty is.
Yeah. Yep.
The old chunk yardage.
Well, I want to see Danielle Hunter get at least one more sack and continue his streak.
Me too.
What is his streak right now? 5 games or something? Sack in every game? Six?
Yeah, he's had a sack in every game.
6 games.
Has he really?
Yep. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Good for him.
I saw a tweet today from somebody. Danielle Hunter has more tackles for losses, and more sacks than Guess, another big-time defensive player in the NFC North.
Reggie White.
Khalil Mack.
Wow.
Does he really?
He does, yeah. Mack, I think Mack has a strip sack in every game, which
Mack probably... Well, Mack, he sucks. He's a hacker. John Gruden got rid of him.
Yeah, Raiders need a pass rush, so they got rid of Khalil Mack.
You know, we don't want that guy bringing our team down. Get him out of here. We don't want Khalil Mack around here. What a joke. No, that's a good stat. That's good knowledge right there. Hunter has turned into – I mean, even Weatherly, we got a damn good D-line. And we start showing it. They start showing up with the – we're going to be good. Yeah. Like I said, we're trending. We got to make – this will be a good test.
Very much trending up. You know, this game reminds me of going into Washington last year. Yeah, it was like, God, the Vikings kind of struggle with the Redskins, and they, you know, they generally don't play well outside on grass. And they went in and they had a huge game and they won. And it was kind of a thing that sort of shifted my outlook on the team. I was still kind of, are they for real or are they not? And that Redskins game made me kind of a believer. I think this Jets game is very similar to that Redskins game last year.
I can't think of a better comparison to that, Mr. Glover. I think you're dead on with that.
Except for the fact I was at that Redskins game.
That's true, you were.
Mm-hmm.
Were you drunk?
I had a few.
Did you pick up any honeys while you were there?
No. It was quite all right. Saw a lot of politicians.
Ugh. Those aren't honeys.
I know. But what was great was the skull chant, because we got the skull chant going.
Why don't they do that skull chant more than twice a game? That's kind of when you're at home. Why don't they do that? Do they not want to overdo it or something?
Well, and that's been brought up, that they're only doing it twice a game. And it's like, wait, why are we doing that more? Anything else you guys want to talk about on the Jets game?
He scratches a letter.
No, I'm good.
No. I'm good. I just don't want to see us take a 10-point lead and then cash it in at third quarter. I wanted to ask Ted about that offense, but we can do that later.
Sounds good.
Why do we go into three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out in the third quarter every game?
I don't know, man.
That aggravates the
crap out of me. Yeah, it aggravates. They got to avoid that this week on the road. Definitely have to avoid that.
You're going to come out in the third quarter, score a couple touchdowns, score a couple more. Keep the pedal.
Yep.
Pedal to the metal, baby.
Yep.
Uh-huh, meow, meow, meow. That's all I got.
Same.
What do you have to say, Drew?
I say, meow, meow, Viking cow. She scratches a letter to a wall.
What song
made
is that?
Stone. Maybe someday another child.
What song is that?
Won't. Why by Pearl Jam. Why go home? Why go home? Why go home? He seems to be stronger.
What do you have to say there, Jen?
I have to say, I don't know how much you spent on singing lessons, Drew, but I hope wasn't a lot.
Not a lot.
No, it was good.
Not a lot.
It was good. Skol Vikes, I think we win big. I'm going to go 31-13. This offense looks like they're really rounding into shape right now.
I will not choose the score. I bad karma'd myself. I'm not doing it the rest of the year. It's up to you guys. I don't want to slow you down, though.
All right.
What'd you pick? 31-13?
31-13. Good guess.
You go with that because I'm not picking one either. I just want a Vikings win.
All right.
Everybody, thanks for watching. Remember, hit the like, hit the bell, scream Skol. Skol Vikings!
I can sing somebody better for you.
That was good.
She scratches a letter.
Flashback.
All right.
To a wall made of stone. Maybe someday another child won't feel as alone as she does. It's been 2 years and counting.
All right, shut up, Drew.
Okay.